This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. A highlight of our week every week is the visits we get from Ross Tucker, who joins us now on the Wester Hotline. On the Wester Hotline, Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day delicious. Be delicious. Just once can I get this. And some of the recorded opens are longer.
I was ready to jump in for you if you weren't ready with it.
Sorry, Ross. This is embarrassing.
That's all right. I think sometimes it actually works out better if you screw it up, because then we talk about it more and the advertiser probably gets additional value and time from it. So it's been a rough day for mayonnaise because Will Levis got benched
right.
The Titans today. So that doesn't help. That doesn't help the TV commercials. So we got to help them out here on the radio. Mayo game day be delicious with Hellman's mayonnaise.
There it is.
By the way, Mayo is actually the name of the seemingly embattled New England Patriots coach. I'm not sure it's going. It might be even be going worse than Ross is saying here with the Levis news. Gerard Mayo.
Right.
This week, Patriots at Bills.
That is a very fair point, and you may or may not know that I called the Patriots Cardinals game for CBS Sunday.
I thought I heard your voice in there. What do you think?
So go ahead.
What do you think is happening there? Like, we talked to Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, earlier, and he thinks it's just really bad from the top down.
I do think that they need to kind of. I think the Crafts need to really consider all options this offseason. You know, I would say the coaching staff is not the top of my list. I mean, their draft, other than Drake May, was horrendous. I mean, the second-round receiver doesn't play at all. The third-round offensive tackle, I guess, played the first couple games, but he's hurt, hasn't been back. The fourth-round guard starts, and he's not very good. I mean, he's been benched a couple times. And that's just the draft. I think I'd almost have more concerns with the guys they kind of re-signed. I mean, this offseason they re-signed Duggar and Peppers. They've both had their issues on and off the field. Godshaw, the D-tackle's done nothing. Barmore has had issues. He had a blood clot, so that's, I don't know what to say about that. Maybe he would have been awesome without it. But then, like, they extend Michael Owenu, and he's really struggled. You know, I mean, he hasn't played very well, and he's like their highest paid, best O-lineman. It's not good. I mean, the Hunter Henry signing was good, but really, really important that you properly evaluate your own players, the guys you have, and I don't think many people in the NFL would think many of those contracts are very good. So that's not good.
I wonder how tough a decision it would be to move on after having 20-plus years of all the stability that Belichick represented, whatever you want to say about how it ended. Obviously, there's a ton of success there, and it's familiarity and comfort level and all those sorts of things, although I imagine a lot of that changed as the losing started. But still, you had one dude for so long, and to just the first year he's gone, and it didn't go well, let's try that again. You could be open. You certainly would be open to criticism for being too quick with the trigger, in the first year after a legend walked out the door.
I think they're in a bad spot. Yeah, I mean, I think they're in a bad spot because there's not really any objective evidence that the guys running in the front office are doing a good job. But I'm sure the Crafts know that it would be a poor reflection on them if they just went ahead and that quickly moved on from all these people after a year. I guess you have to decide what's more important, like getting it right or
appearances. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or keeping up appearances. I think nobody really cares about, you know, for a little bit is a bad reflection on your hiring. Yeah. But I was actually kind of stunned that they stayed in house essentially for both those moves in the first place. I mean, that surprised me. I think that they thought, because of the success they had had for so long, that promoting from within made a lot of sense, and I can kind of understand that. But the success had ended like a few years ago, you know, so to continue to stick with the plan to promote from within doesn't seem to have been the best move. I mean, there's issues everywhere, and yet they're still in a much better position than a lot of these teams because their quarterback is legit good. I mean, he is very impressive watching him. So that's not good for Bills fans in the sense that there's another team mm-hmm. in the division that clearly has a franchise quarterback that, you know, if they build it the right way around him, he could really be a problem for the Bills. Unlike the Jets, we're going to have to find a franchise quarterback. I think the Patriots have this.
And you're seeing enough there. You just mentioned you saw them this week in Arizona. You think despite all the failure around him that the signs are pointing clearly upward with Drake May?
I think that makes what he's done even more impressive. Yeah, I mean, he's got the worst O-line and the worst receiving core in the league around him. Think about that. And yet we're all still impressed by what he does. I mean, he's certainly having Josh improved more than anybody we've ever seen, probably. But he certainly is, he's playing better this year, Drake May is, than Josh Allen did his rookie year. I don't think he has quite the same ceiling, but mm-hmm. he can run. He's a big kid. He's got a good arm. Like, he's legit.
Insider calls, including this with Ross Tucker, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Okay, I'm back. Good call on Bills Lions. We got to get one question in on that spectacle. 90 points. How about these last two Bills games and just what – you've called Josh Allen your favorite player to watch in the league. These are good times for anybody who thinks that.
Yeah, I mean, good and bad, right? The good is Josh Allen is incredible. He's clearly the MVP. I know there's still three games left, but I'd be surprised if anything happened that prevented him from becoming the MVP, which is awesome and much deserved, especially, you know, with him not having elite guys around him, it makes it all the more impressive. It's also a real feather, I would say, in Joe Brady's cap. So that's a huge positive. I went on Dan Patrick, and I said, I firmly believe this. I probably told you guys this before. I just think Josh's upside, you know, Josh's ceiling is higher than anybody I've ever seen. You know, and that doesn't mean he's the best quarterback I've ever seen. He's not. But I just, what's he, like 6'5", 250, fast, can run with power, strongest arm in the NFL. I mean, I don't know. I mean, his ceiling, his upside is higher than anybody's. Conversely, yeah, it's two games in a row where the defense got absolutely torched. Absolutely torched. So they got to figure out what they're going to do next, because it's not good enough, and I'm a little confused by it, considering they've like recently been getting guys like Milano back, and somehow it feels like they're getting much worse on that side of the ball. But they play against two good offenses, but still.
Well, they were down a starting corner and their two starting safeties on Sunday. Milano left the game early with an injury, so there is that. And the Bills also, I think, the game sort of tipped a little bit. I mean, it did get tight at the end, but I don't know, watching it start to finish, it always felt like the Bills were in control of the game, even though it got dicey onside kicks and whatnot at the end by Detroit. So a lot of that came late. Like, Detroit scored 21 fourth quarter points. I mean, those all count, I know, but the Bills were, I think, very much in a keep it in front of you mode, and Goff carved them up. So that's not to say you shouldn't be concerned. I mean, giving up 44 points last week and 42 this week, you know, not great looks.
You know, Ross, if you don't mind, Bulldog, we're talking a lot. We're at the time of the year we're talking a lot about a team's motivation, and it really could be pretty stark in the AFC. Three divisions have been clinched already. A fourth could be clinched this Saturday. And I wonder, from your playing experience or just the years you've spent around players, if you think that kind of take is overrated. Like Houston, for instance, at Kansas City this week, they've clinched. Is there a big difference in the seeding? Is it going too far to think that a team like that might just not be all in for a game? Or does a player instead just have to guard against ever thinking this way about any game?
Yeah, I think that is, I would say that is very overrated, because we see week 17 and 18 games every year where a team with quote unquote nothing to play for beats a team that, you know, beats a team who, you know, has everything on the line, right? You know, sometimes a team with everything on the line, they play tight. You know, they play tight, and they're in a bad position because they're all uptight about, hey, we need to win this game, and the team with nothing to play for comes out playing free and loose and awesome. You know, that happens sometimes too. So I would say I definitely think that's overrated. I actually just interviewed Kalen Bullock from the Houston Texans, their outstanding rookie safety, for tomorrow's Ross Tucker Football podcast. And he was like beyond fired up to get a chance to play against Mahomes and Kelce and the Chiefs, right? Like, mm-hmm. Plus, you don't really know how things are going to sort out. You want to have the best season possible. There's still three games left. I mean, I think the Texans, I think they're all in for the opportunity to beat the Chiefs. And the opportunity to beat Patrick Mahomes, and I think that's very overrated in my experience.
If you had to bet right now, does Mahomes play on Saturday?
Well, I just saw where they list him as a full participant right in practice, so yes, I do. Now, that is a that's an estimation, right? It's not that he definitely, they didn't have a real practice, so it's an estimation. But I can't remember the last time a guy was listed as a full participant and then didn't play, right? I think it's a bad look. I think mm-hmm. there's issues there. If you list a guy as a full participant and then he goes on to not play in the game, I think there could be penalties. So sounds like he will play. The guy is like Gumby, man. I mean, it's like, I feel like we do this every mm-hmm. year mm-hmm. where he has like an ankle injury or something. You're like, oh, that looked bad. He's out probably the next couple games. And then he just plays in the next game and plays really well because he's Patrick Mahomes.
How about this, maybe, before we let you go, Ross? Like, so the Chiefs have the two-game lead, and the Bills have just kind of been the better team, it seems, to everybody all year. Is the one seed for you, maybe this is one way you would put it, if Kansas City gets it, kind of an equalizer? I mean, I know the history. Last week we talked with you about just we know what Kansas City has proven it can do in the playoffs before. I wonder just how much that one seed will help them, or if maybe it did go the Bills' way, you might think that like it's just sort of not over, but they've looked so much better than the Chiefs. How important is that one for KC?
I would say the playoffs themselves are the equalizer.
Okay.
So the playoffs are the equalizer, and then the home field advantage is very much an advantage for whoever gets it, because to not have to play that first week to get to rest and heal, I think is significant. And then obviously playing that game at home. So I think just based on what we've seen from these teams over the years, the nature of it being a playoff game is the equalizer. And then home field still means the number one seed. I got to stop saying home field. The number one seed means quite a bit.
All right, Ross, what are you doing tonight?
Typically right now, you might be able to hear them getting in, is when my daughters get in from, what was your class today?
Theater
dance class.
All right.
So they're hopping in the car right now from theater dance class. And there is no stopping at home or collecting $200. We are going right to Alice in Wonderland practice, where the older one is Alice in Wonderland. Helen, what are you considered?
Small Alice.
Helen, the younger one, Helen, she's 11. She's small Alice. Tess, the older one, 12. Are you big Alice, Tess, or just the real Alice, or what? What's the deal? He's just Alice. So if you're going to go to Alice in Wonderland in Harrisburg in January, you are getting a double dose of Tucker. And
love it.
Thankfully, neither one of them looks like me or is built like me. They are two blonde beauties like their mother.
Well, it's lovely that they made the show today. We're flattered.
Tough Ross. Enough being the younger sister in real life, but now you got to be the younger sister in the play too. That's tough.
And guess what? The younger one is absolutely thrilled that she's on the radio and that her voice is on, and she would talk the whole time if you guys would let her. The older one is shy and probably embarrassed and probably isn't happy that she was on it at all. And yet, when she gets on the stage, she totally rocks the mic. So it's very, very cool.
Enjoy that, Ross. We'll talk next week. Thank you.
All right, sounds great. See you guys.
All right, that's Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker and his daughters. Insider calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious, and in part by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Gumby. Do the kids know Gumby?
No.
Has there been some kind of recent bring back with Gumby? Apparently there's a video game in 2005. That's even a long time ago.
Yeah, it's
reruns.
Almost 20 years ago.
Are there still reruns? Everything's a rerun. Well, no, but are there still?
I mean, you could probably find it on YouTube if you had a mind to Google Gumby.
You'd have to go get it.
Pokey, but you got to go find it. I don't know that it's crossing your face otherwise. Yeah.
It's not like it was when basically you get home from school and there would be those 3 to 8 shows that they would make you watch,
right?
The facts of life.
Right. Yeah, no, it's not.
Now, watch anything you want?
Yeah.
What is Gumby then? I'm not sure I know. I know who Gumby is, but I don't know like why, what it's from or.
Oh, well, you don't know
he
what
had,
Gumby
no, I do.
Is?
I know the reference.
Right, he's big and green rubber dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like
Clidation,
what,
yeah.
What does it come from?
Well, that he could ball himself up and roll down a hill to like knock off the bad guys. Like, he was malleable.
Oh.
So
he Gumby, was the star of his own
Gumby
production?
Oh, yeah. Gumby was the show was Gumby. Yeah, Gumby and Friends.
I remember, I think my connection with Gumby is Eddie Murphy on SNL saying, "I'm Gumby, damn it."
Right.
That's okay. Kind of what I know it from.
Okay,
not
so
from...
you don't know the Sunday, it was like Sunday morning,
no.
Gumby, Pokey was like a pony that was his sidekick, and the bad guys were the blockheads.
Okay, yeah.
And they had big,
no, I don't know
they
that.
Had big
I don't...
square blocks for heads.
I don't believe I've ever seen this.
Okay, yeah. Well, anyway, Gumby was malleable. That's why, you know, that's why the reference to, you know, you can bend Mahomes any way, which way you want. He just comes back to form and he's fine.
Do I have the Eddie Murphy reference right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know that one?
I'm Gumby, damn it. Yeah, sure.
Gumby, damn it.
Gumby, damn it.
Not his last name.
Right?
That wasn't Gumby's actual last name, right?
I don't believe so.
That's a tough name.
No. Yeah, no, Gumby, Davy, Davy and Goliath.
That I watched.
That Gumby was like the same production house, I think. Like it looked very similar.
Goliath would say, "Wow, this has been a long time."
Davy.
Yes, that's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to take the line. You needed some street
that
cred
was the
on
line.
Gumby and Pokey and other cartoons from like 55 years ago.
I'm all right.
Good Lord.
Do you think Joe Brady is going to be a name
yes.
this offseason?
Absolutely.
Do you?
Yeah. They have an excellent offense. His quarterback's going to be the MVP. They won a pile of games. They could end up, we'll see how these final three games go, but they're 14 points off of being the highest scoring team in the league. Yeah. Yeah. I'd be stunned if he's not a candidate. I mean, it's a little new. It's his first full year with this gig. So I could see teams sort of feeling it out and maybe making him wait a turn, kind of like Daboll ended up. That first year we thought for sure he's a goner, and then he didn't go, and then he did the next year. I think he'll get a lot of attention. Yeah, I think the offense is where it's at. So, yeah, I would expect teams to be kicking the tires on Joe Brady.
Well, here we go, if he is.
Yeah, right.
Like, was Mike Giardi mentioning if the Patriots make a coaching change, it'll be for one guy, Vrabel. I mean, Vrabel was a coach of the year in the NFL, so he's a worthy candidate, but he's not the young offensive guy that everybody kind of, well, not everybody, but a lot of teams go out yeah. looking for more and more often. And there was also a report from Albert Breer today about Chicago that, because they're going to mm-hmm. end up with someone new. And it also mentioned Vrabel. And it also mentioned Josh McDaniels.
Yes, it did, who Giardi mentioned. And I liked his thinking there. Like, you know, worrying about hiring a defensive coach, why do you do that? Because you're worried about the coordinator being good and then leaving you, like we're talking about with Brady. I think he's right. Mike asserted that McDaniels' opportunity to be a head coach is probably come and gone. I mean, he's washed out a couple of times already. So almost, and I don't want to say never, but almost no matter how well they do on offense, I don't know that he's like the next new hot guy.
That makes him perfect then?
Then maybe, yeah.
That he would that not works. Get a head coaching job?
Right.
Is this Bieniemy too?
Maybe, yeah. At this point, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Just thought about this on Monday morning, thinking about like what the Bills are doing on offense. I mean, the jury is in, mostly, at least, on this experiment. And Brady would deserve a lot of the credit for that. You know, he also looks better for this offense working like it is without Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
It really might get you to the coach first before the quarterback. And I think there will be a lot of openings. I think there could be five more. We've had three coaches fired already this season. So, yeah, maybe buckle up for that.
Yeah, and if you're mixing in the idea of a, you know, mostly when we talk about this, it's like teams that just hired new guys, oh, well, they won't do it. But, like, if New England does it, I don't know, does Tennessee have to stay with Callahan? Maybe not. So, you know, besides the obvious teams, I think even teams with that could be one and done, maybe teams are going to be that impatient.
And that could be the Raiders, too. It's a little bit more than 1 year,
right.
But still, it's not two full seasons, at least for Antonio Pierce. 803-0550 to call in, talk about the playoff picture, Allen's year, this Brady topic, which might become more of a discussion as we get into the offseason. We'll see. The Sabres are in Montreal. Pregame at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
I'm almost lost for words, obviously. It's on me to solve this. This is the toughest solve I've been around, but it is on me to get these guys in the right place to win a hockey game, and nobody else, just me. Thanks.
Lindy Ruff, befuddled. Bulldog likes his Sabres bets. I bet he knows that they're favored tonight. Minus 130.
I hadn't even
You're
looked.
That checked out.
I had
it's
not,
that bad.
I had not even looked.
You lose Bulldog. You lost.
Yeah.
What's the... Oh, why did I even think of this? So goes Maine, so goes the nation. Is that something? Is it Maine? Is it a different state?
I don't know. I know what you're going for. I've heard that.
Bulldog, you've lost the room.
Yeah. I don't know if it's Maine or not.
Thompson, plus 5,000 to score a hat trick.
Yeah.
He has not been on the ice for a Sabres win since November 9th.
I don't know.
What was the Bills' record the last time the Sabres won a game with Thompson? It's just excluding four games, a game against St. Louis and then the three in California.
Yeah.
That's not blaming him. It's just 10 in a row is a lot. And he had an injury before that.
Right. He got hurt in a game against Montreal.
Yes.
That was right. Veterans Day? Was that?
Yes.
Yeah.
The game after the Calgary game on November 9th. And then they lost that one.
Paired Sabres, see, what I assume when I make the Thompson hat trick bet, it's with the Sabres. I'm not going to have them at a negative number on the money line. So, like, okay, what's the spread? -1.5. That's almost plus. It's +198.
Yep.
So put that with, because he's going to get a hat trick. You're winning. You know, I'm willing to venture you're going to win by more than one. You don't have to be right. I was last year and it paid off. Even with that, the odds, FanDuel's got it at +4,900 for him to get a hat trick. So it's +7,100. It's just not, I don't know.
Not enough for you?
It's not enough. I need more. And, like, I don't want to start piling more crap in there. I mean, obviously, the most unlikely, well, shouldn't say that. The most unlikely thing is him to get the hat trick, of course. Them winning by, you know, two goals is also not a great bet right now. I think I need to continue to suspend operations for now. I don't know. It's gonna come if I don't do it some night where I'm sitting out here maybe.
Well, but that is how they get you.
Yep.
Because you can't just constantly be betting in the name of, well, I'm due to win.
Eventually, it's gonna happen.
These are long shots.
Right. Right.
-130 at BetMGM if you want it. Yeah. Bet the exact score. 1-0 would be funny.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think I can do it.
Pre-game at 6, Sabres at Canadiens. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Did I see on Twitter correctly, one Bills Live today did most surprising thing about the Bills offense? I think I saw.
They were talking about that. Yeah, I heard some calls on that subject on my way in.
To me, there is only one thing that's surprising. This is not to say, like, their record. Specifically about their offense, it can't be... What's not surprising? It's not surprising at all to me that there's no dominant receiver guy. Like, that was the plan, and they didn't really have anybody that good. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it's been. You know, there's the pecking order kind of makes sense, was somewhat predictable, but nobody jumping off the page. You can't consider offensive line stuff too surprising. It was pretty solid. They've been very fortunate to not have injuries.
2 years in a row.
Up front. That's huge. More back to the first point, like Kincaid not going through the roof production. That's not surprising, I think. Knox is playing. That I expected. Allen playing at an MVP level. Not surprising.
Even with the departures, sure. Yep.
The only thing for me is Cook's touchdowns. It's not either surprising, like his usage. He was the number one running back. They use him like the number one running back. They use the other guys too. Not surprising. That's what we all assumed would happen. The fact that he is 3 rushing touchdowns away from the franchise record with 3 games left, Or put another way, only OJ and Allen in Bills history has ever had more rushing touchdowns in a season than Cook has already this year. With Allen, like, Allen didn't get hurt for a month,
right.
And it's Trubisky, so Cook's getting the ball at the goal line. Like, that, Allen is still Allen, and he's double digits too.
He's got 11 touchdowns. Yeah, it's not like, you know, it's not like he's falling off the map. I mean, there, a few weeks ago, like, oh, he's not getting to no 15 this year.
He might.
We'll see how hard they have to lean into it. But the point is, he's not necessarily, he's probably vultured here and there, but Cook 13 is incredible, considering Allen's on the team. Yeah, I think that's a solid assessment. Because I'm not surprised by Shakir catching 71 passes already. I thought he'd be their leading I thought he'd be their leading wide receiver. I thought Kincaid might have more catches than him, so I missed on that. So I guess I have to be a little surprised that Kincaid didn't, you know, they didn't find a way to make that work better than they have. Some surprise there for me. But I think the running back is the thing, the touchdowns, because that just was not there. Last year when he was, you know, playing the same sort of workload, really. He was the same guy except for the touchdowns last year. I don't remember if he was more productive in the receiving game last year than he is this year. He's only got, he's got 29 catches, only one receiving touchdown so far. So he's got 14 total TDs. I mean, that's a nice year.
And it's not over.
Right.
So that is surprising to me, and maybe this is more sort of like the fantasy mindset is kind of warped my thinking a little bit, because touchdowns are so much the focus, and why Cook wasn't a higher draft pick in fantasy is because Allen exists. It was also the conundrum on Saquon Barkley, who was a much more expensive draft pick in fantasy because of Hurts. And that also is a little bit, you know, interesting, because Hurts is at 14 or 15, whatever his number is. He's still tush-pushes as hot as ever, but Barkley has a chance at the rushing record despite that, and is having a huge season despite that. So both of these guys have paid off, you know, very handsomely, despite the fact that their quarterbacks are still touchdown machines.
What is Barkley's rushing touchdown number? Do you know offhand? I'm sorry if you got to scramble to look it up.
I know how to find out.
I'm wondering if there's more of a case.
11.
11, okay, yeah. So very similar years in that way, with the quarterback still producing rushing touchdowns and the big running back still getting in the end zone a lot. Yeah.
Eagles rushing touchdowns, Hurts 14, Barkley 11, Gainwell 1. That's it. I mean, the Bills, you know, have a longer list than that.
Not much.
It's only four guys?
It's Cook, Allen, Davis, and Ty Johnson. That's okay. It, rushing-wise.
You're right.
Johnson has one, Davis has three.
Where are my three jet sweep Curtis Samuel touchdowns I was promised?
Yep.
Where are any? Five carries for Samuel.
Yep.
Is that just nothing? Is that going to ever be anything? I don't mean it has to be jet sweep plays, but
yep.
I've got 24 catches with three games left.
He had a little, you know, he showed up in a couple of games there while Cooper and Coleman were out. Curtis Samuel game, even not quite to that level. It didn't get there, but I don't. Maybe he'll just be one of these dudes that you're happy is on your team because he makes a play in a playoff game that you're like, okay, thanks for coming.
Hey, look, that could be real.
Yeah, that can make it worth it. I mean,
that's Kadarius Toney.
Sure, everybody was down on Valdez Scantling last year, and he came here and caught a 44-yard bomb in the playoff game.
Yep.
So, you know, just be there, you know. So maybe that'll happen for Samuel. But I don't know. The weirdest looking offensive play of the whole game was like a little pass to the sideline at the bottom of the screen as you're watching. So Bill's going right to left in Detroit on Sunday. And Allen threw a quick pass out to the sideline to Samuel. And it felt like, for some reason, you couldn't even really, like, see where the ball went. Like, I couldn't tell if he caught it and was tackled immediately or went. It was just a weird camera angle. It was just a really funny play. I think it ended up being an incompletion. Like, I don't know if Allen intentionally saw it was going to be a bad play and just, you know, threw it poorly so that we just get the incompletion and keep moving. Because even if you catch this, you're probably going to lose 3 or 4 yards or something. But it was a very odd-looking play.
Did they maybe cut to Allen's face after that and you sort of wondered maybe what he was thinking?
Maybe.
On that?
I'm not sure if I remember. Maybe. Like, it would make
sense.
Was
he supposed to be there?
Yeah.
Were we on the same page
right.
on this
it
play?
It looked like something was broken there. I don't know what it was. It might have just been as simple as Allen didn't like the look and just threw it away because he didn't want to put Samuel in a bad spot. But it was an odd-looking play.
803-0550 for your calls. Sabres pregame in less than 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Kind of amazing on a day that we heard Bulldog's story about forgetting a ticket for a Bills game in like 1989. I am going to an event tonight and I forgot my ticket. That's an amazing coincidence. Who needs a ticket for anything anymore? But I think where I'm going, I do need it. So
yeah. Well, you need tickets for stuff, but you just always have them in your phone.
Right.
Basically is what it is.
Yeah,
so you don't have a printed ticket.
Yeah, I'm not beating myself up over this.
No.
Because... Right?
Yep.
But I'm really upset that I'm not beating myself up. I get it. But I'm like, oh, now I got to go home first.
That means
like you did.
That means you are beating yourself up. Yeah, at least you don't have to go to New Haven. Or, you know, I guess in this case, Franklinville. I don't know. Like, whatever, how far.
Hopefully the bridge is cooperative.
Run back.
It's the Pope's birthday. Can I get into this thing tonight without?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think I need the ticket.
We forgot. What did I do? Oh, I had a thing with John Gale last early spring, a book reading. An author that he knew, grew up with the guy in Port Colborne, had written a book about hockey players from Port Colborne. It centered around one guy whose name I forget. And... You know, so I'm going up to Canada to go to the, he was excited about me coming with him, like, okay, great, we're going. And we get to the thing and he's like, oh, I left the tickets at home. I'm like, well, I mean, it's not that far. We could, you know, it's half an hour probably. We could get back. He's like, let's just see if the, you know, I'll just plead with the person at the door. There was no pleading. He just walked in. They knew who he was. Like, oh, John Gale, good to see you. Sure. Oh, you had, sure. Yeah. No, you're fine.
So. Oh, if I just knew somebody that was part of this tonight and I could maybe, but I can't risk it. I have time. I'm not going to
risk it. I'm going to have John Gale meet you there. Maybe he can.
Yeah. I'm just.
Sorry.
I'm also like not somebody, this is no reflection on him or you, but. I'm just never somebody that's going to want to talk myself into. I don't want to ask a favor from anybody.
Right.
So I'll just go get it. I think I should be all right, but yeah. I'm just annoyed. The Sabres are, speaking of being annoyed, the Sabres are playing tonight in Montreal. Paul Hamilton and Bulldog will set the wheels in motion for tonight's game. The Sabres are a road favorite despite having lost 10 straight. That tells you something about, well, a lot about the Canadiens. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sabres hockey next on WGR.